back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into our final segment of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. This is my favorite segment because this is the part where I eat the crab cake. I'll be honest, I came here really, really hungry. We're not your mamas. We are in Towson, not the Canton location and not mamas, but we're going to have a crab cake here. Jen Fidelli's here. She sort of runs the place, and we sort of know each other through the sports space. I find it funny, like, I'm sitting here before the segment. You're sitting here watching the NFL. Tell everybody, like, what you do and what your dude does, because, like, we're connected in a different way. And serendipity has brought us together just feet away from the Elvis room here that Scunny left behind.
Yeah, so small tomorrow at its finest. I am the general manager of Mama's Restaurant Group. So I oversee all three of our properties. So here, Nacho Mama's Towson, Nacho Mama's Canton, and Mama's on the Half Shell.
What's your favorite one? Or is it like asking a child? Depends which one's running smoothly this week.
Yeah, Half Shell holds a special place in my heart. I have a lot of sentimental memories. And
is that your first place you went to?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a hang.
It is a hang.
See, Nacho Mama's at Canton is a hang for me. It's been a hang all my life. I mean, all my adult
life. Yeah.
Like, literally, it's just always been a hang for me. I've never been in here, so you can shoot me if you want. I don't come to Towson. I work in Towson, but I don't eat in Towson much, strangely enough. You know, like, it's right. Just eat before I leave home. I eat at sponsor places, and, you know, we're going to have that conversation. But I have so many sponsors that I wind up eating in my sponsors. Like, and I'm not apologizing for that, but I don't wind up in lots of places. And I only eat one meal out a day every 2 or 3 days, right? So there's only so much you can do. But if I were to go to Nacho Mama's, which I've done, I go to Canton because I live downtown.
Correct.
And I almost never go to Mama's because I go to Nacho's.
I mean,
I'm over there. The destination is. How about this? Does this make you feel better? I haven't been in Looney's in 20 years. I haven't been in Clotta in 15 years. I was in the other bar, Kitty Corner. What is it? Across from Looney's. What's that one? I had a beer in there 3 years ago.
Okay. I'll
at 10
that.
O'clock at night.
I'll take
all
that.
Right,
it's
so.
Not, it's not personal.
It is not. I haven't even been to the Grumwald Club in a while.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know about the Grumwald Club?
I don't.
It's right down the street. It's a private club.
I live in Canton, too. I can walk to the square.
You need to know Greg Zapaniak. If you know Greg, you can get in.
Okay.
You had to know his dad, Val, but that's a long story. Val knew Scunny, no question. That. 1,000,000% Val knew Scotty. Said they were neighbors. Scotty had a billion beers in a Grumwald Club. Right, okay. Well, yeah. And I will say, we're at Nacho Mama's. It's a special place for me. You run this really special little restaurant group. It is unique having three places in Baltimore that are left behind from a true icon.
Mm-hmm.
I did share my obituary for Scotty today out online. I wrote an obituary for him. I was very broken up when he died. And I went to the funeral, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I came back and I had to write. I'm a writer. So I wrote like this 2-page remembrance of Scunny right after he died. It was August 28th or something like that I wrote. 2011. I found it today, and I reshared it. Because I wanted to like reshare it before I came in here. I've been in here once or twice, but I never ate or drank it. I don't know why. I did sniff through, and I wasn't hungry, and I just wanted to see it. But it was like five years. It was right when it opened.
Okay. Yeah, and we're 5 years old in a few weeks, in mid-November.
Tell me how this place like happened. And I'll get Jackie on later on, but like I can honestly say I sat with Scunny a dozen times. Because I'm a businessman, and my business was thriving in the late 90s, and his was too. And, you know, we had nubby fingers, and I absolutely remember talking to Scunny a dozen times about the second Nacho Mama's. It was like always something. And I remember at times, like, I was looking at a location over in Ellicott City. I was looking at a location in Owings Mills. I was looking at Perry Hall. You know, Perry Hall needs a bar. You know, like all of that. I had those conversations with him.
I like your Scunny impression, by the way.
I could do better than that. That's not a great one. I could do it. I have to. It's been a little while, but I saw him on the back wall. This might even offend Jackie, but he's not dead to me. You know, to me, I always feel like I'm going to walk in there. He's going to be there one day. So I don't go there much because it's weird.
Yeah, it's very nostalgic. You know, if you're tied to the place and you're always expecting him to
it's
be
weird.
There.
Yeah, it's really weird.
A lot of people have a lot of stories about him, and it still feels like he's there. You know, like we definitely feel him in the soul of all of our restaurants.
I told the story today about how I was in the earthquake on the block that we were on, and I went down. I ate in Nacho's before and after the earthquake that day. I went in for a drink afterward. I mean, this is true. I was in the cruise ladies in her office.
Okay.
And we were having a meeting. And I've known
Miss Mary. We know Miss Mary.
I know Mary. I mean, Mary's my neighbor. She's East Baltimore.
Yeah.
I'm in her place. She'll tell you we were together for the earthquake. You never forget who you're with. And I had eaten lunch and nachos, and I walked to her place, and the earthquake happened. And that was the end of the meeting. I mean, it was the. I've never experienced. Were you in the earthquake?
I don't remember.
You will remember if you were in the earthquake. I mean, the ceiling moved. It felt like for 15 seconds you were under a subway in New York. Everything shook like sideways, and the roof was shaking.
Wow.
And you heard this sound that was one of the worst sounds, and it was the awnings, the little awning and the cruise ladies, the little old 1960s awnings, yeah. Tin man awnings. And I heard it rattle, like that teeth, like chalkboard,
right,
kind of awful.
Yeah.
It was a grinding metal on metal that was just
cringe-worthy.
Yeah. And then that happened, and then the whole place shook, and I knew it was an earthquake.
Oh, wow.
I'd never been in an earthquake, but I like get out. Let's get out. And we ran out the door.
Enough movies. You're like, let me get in.
Get
the
out. Get out. Get out. Get out. And we got out. And I was on the street, and there was a girl walking down the street on her cell phone just crying. She was so, like, we gave her a hug.
Wow. Like so shook up.
She was
no,
really
no
shook up. I'm like, let's get out of Nacho's. I'll get you a hubcap. We'll fix this.
Okay.
Hubcap can fix it.
Tequila fixes it.
Because we were literally on the block. So, you know, so I've been in there, you know, I guess in modern recent times. But I always order the same thing. So the crab cake, right? Like you guys, like everybody else, were paying too much for crab cake, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
This was all part of having a restaurant during the pandemic. Is that food costs have changed, things have changed, labor shape, everything's changed in this industry the last 18 months.
It has. I mean, I've been in this industry for about 22 years now, and I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's crazy, and it's everything that we could have never prepared for, you know, and we're all still navigating.
You couldn't have thought of it.
Right.
You couldn't have.
No.
I don't think any of us could have perceived that we're going to wake up one day and the world's going to shut down and what it would look like 18 months later.
Yeah.
You know, lucky we're vaccinated for the smart people.
Mm-hmm.
But and doing this today, you know, I put up that I was coming in with y'all today, and someone went on my Facebook, as is typical, and said, "You're nuts! How can you be in a crowd and inviting people to a crowd?" I'm like, "Dean, I'm here from 2 to 5 on a Friday doing a Maryland Crab Cake Tour brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'm playing today." But it's a beautiful open-air day. I don't want to... I'm not fearful, but my mask is right here.
Right.
You know,
I'm vaccinated. We're sitting next to each other.
Yeah,
okay.
But we're also like, I'm not... I haven't touched you, and I probably won't. You know, I won't shake your hand. I promise you that. I might give you an elbow bump. Mm-hmm. But my mask is always here. And I thought it was an important message to say to him. Look, dude, I mean, I'm safe. You know, we're practicing safely. And that's really an important part of my message for people.
Right.
As well as getting vaccinated. But I went through the Midwest this week. I think I told you this. I got in an Uber in Omaha. The guy told me, "You don't need a mask." I'm like, "You do. You don't know where I've been."
Right.
So I put my mask on. And to me, it's a show of respect to other people.
Right. I agree. And I actually kind of hope that as much as I'm in a way just like exhausted with all of the changes and the masking and the, you know, like I've traveled for the first time too recently and on the plane and
the first 10 minutes you're on the plane, you're like, this sucks having the mask. And then you forget you have it on
right. And
you try to drink with the mask on.
Right. I mean, the worst part was they don't have cocktails on the planes right now, at least Southwest did it.
Dude,
so.
It's crazy. They have, you know, Coke 1, Sprite 2, Diet Coke 3, water, coffee. I'm like, I got a finger for you. I want a drink.
Where's my vodka soda?
Yeah, I want a Kettle One. Oh, it's getting late.
That.
It's getting late. But for your crab cake and for the menu and putting things together, I looked at your menu. Some of the stuff I recognized, some of the stuff I didn't. I got the nachos with the delicious beef. I mean, delicious. I had the Brussels sprouts.
That was our birria that you had. So birria is like all the rage right now. We were actually featured in Baltimore Magazine for it back in February.
Well, it's delicious.
So yeah, it was good.
I got the nachos. I was going to get the tacos, but we were more communal with Dr. Steve and Allison as well. I got the Brussels sprouts. I don't know how Scunny would feel about Brussels sprouts. You know, I don't think Scunny would approve of that. I mean, I'm just being honest.
No.
I don't think he ate Brussels sprouts. It would shock me if he... Brussels sprouts didn't exist as a menu item during his lifetime. It's amazing how...
it was one of those, like, your mom had to be like, you can't get up from the table unless you eat them. But nowadays,
every menu has Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
People order the hell out of them.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
They're delicious, right? I always ate them when I was... My mom's Southern, you know. We had greens in my house, and if my mom didn't murder it with salt, she murdered it with sugar. You know what I mean? Or she just fry it, you know, like, but... I love where menus have gone, and you know, I've talked to a lot of people about this. You say you've been in the industry. Where have you worked, or give me industry kind of food you've served?
So I've worked all around. Actually, I've worked in super fine dining. I've worked in neighborhood bars. I've worked at sports bars.
Everything. So you've seen every trend.
Yeah.
Here's a trend I had. Tiramisu became a thing. I already had to have, right? Like, you have a Tres Leches cake here, which may be going home with me. And I guess Brussels sprouts would be a great example. Sushi. I mean, I had ahi tuna at the Chaucer. This tostada. Unbelievable. Who would have had ahi tuna on a menu 15 years ago other than a Ruth's Chris or a fine dining kind of place did that sort of thing?
Right.
And now with sushi's popularity, it's changed. One thing that I thought was going to catch on, and you'll laugh because you're like Gucci with NFL players and stuff and your aged husband and all that stuff. You've been to Vegas. About 15 years ago, I went to Vegas, and every place in Vegas had cotton candy for dessert. So they would buy a $200 cotton candy machine, and they would make it at the table, and the girls would ooh, and it makes good pictures, it's all sexy, wink, wink. And I thought, shit, man, we're going to have cotton candy everywhere. Everybody's going to have a cotton candy. And I've never seen a cat. And I don't know why I didn't catch on. It's a 2-cent food cost.
It was a 2-cent
food cost. You charge $8 and everybody has a party. Like, how could that not catch on?
Okay, so it's so funny that you mentioned that. Because
this is when cotton candy vodka was like the rage, right? Until the hangover.
So when you had Nancy on earlier, did you guys talk about the party on Penn that's happening out here on the 15th?
We got like a bunch of light coming in here. It looks terrible. But okay, but wait, we just look goofy on the video and it's because of the sun. It'll go away in a minute.
So we were talking about, we had rented a cotton candy machine for 4th of July. For the parade and everything. We were talking about renting another one again for this party on Penn on the 15th. And then Chef and I were like, maybe by the time that now we've rented it twice, we could have just bought it. We could have some cool cotton candy. So we actually just talked about bringing on cotton candy on the menu 48 hours ago.
Serendipity.
Yeah.
Well, name it after me or something. Or name it after the sexy girls I saw in Vegas eating it 15 years ago. And I haven't seen it, other than the state fair, I haven't seen anyone.
I love me some cotton candy, too. I'm a sweets girl, so.
Well, look, I did crab cakes all over the state. And this is, where are you from originally?
Pasadena.
All right, so you're not uptown. You're like me, Dundalk.
Yeah, I'm a Dina girl.
You're a Dina girl. I'm Dundalk guy. Okay, so, you know, high-end was like a ketchup with chili when I was a kid, right? Like. Or a hot dog with chili, I should say.
Yeah.
Like
Ann's in Pasadena.
Yeah, like chicken fingers were exotic. You know what I mean? Where I'm from. I didn't have a taco until I was 15 because we had a Taco Bell in Essex, right? So all of the exotic food that's come along, and this is, and I haven't shared this observation on the air yet after 30 crab cakes in 30 days. There are places in the state that are still the dining, and because of the lifestyle there and the Applebee's-ification of it, that I don't know that they would handle Brussels sprouts or ahi tuna or more modern tacos even.
Yeah.
Just like I went to
a lot of meat and potatoes kind of people, and
very fried and and when you say meat and potatoes, that it's sort of like something purgative about it, but it extends beyond like the meat and potatoes to just like a safety of category of food. Like, there's nothing outside of spaghetti and meatballs and a hamburger and chicken fingers and things that you would find at a state fair or things that you find at a hockey game, right? And the more I've traveled, the more the Food Network has brought everyone. I mean, my wife and I, it's our thing. It's not even like a junk food thing for me to watch it. I do learn. I learn about foods and textures. And it's made the tour more fun. It's made everything I've eaten more fun. I mean, I had lunch with Bobby Flay right up the street when he opened his place that didn't work out up the street. And I'm not autography with these folks, but I love watching someone compete to make something and do it two different ways, because my wife and I, it's created fun in my marriage, in my kitchen.
I love watching Charleston all that.
Right. Yeah. And it's better than watching two people beat the hell out of each other in a cage or some sports at this point in my life.
Right.
And my wife watches some Animal Planet and we like that kind of stuff, but But cooking and food, it's become ubiquitous. And I'm wondering to some degree if people, maybe not more urbane, would just say, I'm only going to eat hot dogs the rest of my life, and that's where they are. But I love that Nacho Mamas, and I can have fun with Scunny and saying he would never let a Brussels sprout. But over the course of time, things change and menus change, and it's fun like that for me. It keeps it interesting.
No, yeah, 100%. And like even during the, you know, this industry is something that's never going to die. It's going to take a couple of blows, you know, when it needs to take a blow.
I already did.
But everybody goes out to eat, and it's nostalgic, and it means something to people. And so, you know, like as the menus change as time changes, and we adapt in so many different ways, you know, menus included. So, right, where Scunny may have never wanted Brussels sprouts on the menu, but guess
they're
what,
here.
That's what the people
they're
want.
Here.
They're going to give them what they want. So.
Yeah, well, I just find that to be fascinating that things do change. There's a cult sign here. If you have him in the Towson, come by and admire the stuff that he bought and stole. And my Butch Robinson jersey's on the back wall, so I'm happy about that. I'm looking around and seeing how much more. I had the greatest moment, and I haven't texted this out, but I'm going to, just to show everybody that I was here today. I walk back to go to the bathroom right before the show, because I have to do that and do my business before I go. And this is on the back wall here. This is me with Charlie Ekman, if you can see that. That's a shirt with a natty bow. And Charlie was the originator. He was the Howard Stern of sports radio.
Okay. I was going to say, pardon me, I don't even know who the heck that is. So
Charlie, anybody over the age of 60, and I've been on the air 30 years on December 13th, it'll be 30 years. Uh-huh. Charlie was alive in 91. Charlie died on the 4th of July, 1995.
Okay.
So I had Charlie on a couple times. And, anybody from Baltimore, your uncle in Pasadena knows who Charlie is. By the way, Charlie was from Anne Arundel County. There's a Charlie Ekman Lane right off of where Michael's 8th Avenue.
Okay.
8th Avenue in Baltimore, Washington. In 97, right where the light rail stop is.
Okay.
There's a Charlie Ekman
Cromwell-ish area, right?
Right across the street, there's a Charlie Ekman drive in a lane at a park. It's a softball diamond. Charlie was an NBA referee. He was the head coach of the Fort Wayne Pistons and the Zollner Pistons before they were the Detroit Pistons. And he also was a legendary college referee college basketball. And he was very colorful. And Charlie drank, gambled, every known vice, but everybody loved Charlie. Charlie was a legend in Baltimore. And I'll do my Charlie Ekman impression for you a little later on. I'll do it. And it's Pasadena. Well, it's Pasadena by like West Virginia because he had like a whole Southern tie.
Okay.
And I do a better Ekman than anybody. But it's got to be the sun's in my eyes and it'll mess with me. I have to like get the cigar in my mouth. And can you give me a drink? Two more drinks and I can do it better because Charlie was never sober. So yeah, yo, listen, leader. You call two cad, go sleep on them cherries. You had too much to drink, leader. So I see the Ekman thing right. Like, I peed, I set up, I saw my stolen Brooks Robinson jersey on the wall. And there's Ekman looking at me. Hey, leader, don't do one for Scunny out there in the front. So Ekman, I see Ekman as like the thing before I turn the microphone on. That's really badass for me. So I'm happy I'm here today. Where's my crab cake for crying out loud? All right. Well, yeah. Tell me about the crab cake and recipe and crab pricing and all that, because this has been the crab pricing alone for somebody who's been in the industry 20 years. Nobody's ever seen $60 crab.
Oh, no.
Crab pound.
No. It's been crazy. So we're sitting in Nacho Mama's Towson right now. And back in January, we had a really unique opportunity when Canton went back to carry out only, we decided to shut down Mama's on the Hash Shell and Nacho Mama's Canton until we could have indoor dining again. So,
well, Nacho's was not set up for that down there.
Yeah, no.
Now, here, maybe. That was beautiful, right?
Right, and neither was Hash Shell, really, and we were just like, you know, we're going to do the right thing here. We're going to, you know, shut it down for a little bit, and we'll open back up when the weather's nicer, and we can have outdoor dining, and our diners can feel safe and, you know, come in and get something to eat. So we, in this opportunity, decided that we were going to sort of merge Mama's on the Hash Shell out here with Nacho Mama's. So we're now Nacho Mama's Towson featuring Mama's on the Hash Shell. So, of course, the number one thing that wanted to come with us was our crab cake. You know, Mama's on the Hash Shell is known for our crab cakes. We're working on nationwide shipping.
I have had a crab cake there. I had it with my mother on I want to say it was Mother's Day, okay. Or Easter. It might have been Easter.
Yeah.
Might have been Easter. Now I'm thinking about it. Oh, wow. Look at that. Oh, thank you very much. Jason delivering the crab cake, the asparagus. Is that mashed potatoes? You know I need to eat my veggies.
That's right, man.
You know it was date night at the condo, didn't you, with the asparagus? How many? By the way, we did – this is so funny. You're an Ocean City person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get out of Ocean City the first week of the tour in August. And I said, you know, I was with the Chamber of Commerce. I had the Harrison's crab cake the first day. I had the Embers Blue. And I went to the Coastal Salt late at night. And the people at the bar recognized me. So I wound up in this long football conversation. And it got political, and they were Trumpers. It was interesting. But the bartender said, "Have you been to the Hobbit?" And I said, "Everybody keeps telling me to go to the Hobbit. All my Ocean City friends say, go to the Hobbit and get the crab cake." So go to the Hobbit to get the crab cake. And my concept that day was a little different. It was a Saturday. My wife was with me. We're at the Hobbit. Everybody told me it was going to be beautiful, like the view. And it's the most beautiful view. I mean, it's insane. It's got this giant glass wall overlooking egrets and heron. It's insane. It's only... Go to the Hobbit.
Okay.
I give free plugs to any place. It's awesome. So... I get met there, and the owner sits us down, and I said, "I got a concept here, me and my wife having a romantic dinner. And, you know, we're going to do a segment like this." And my wife and I, and he joined us, because there was nobody there. It was 40 hours. His employees were there. It was a Saturday. He had a death in the family, so, like, we had to move it. So we had a romantic dinner, and the romantic dinner came, and we both had asparagus.
That's good stuff.
Oh, we loved it, though. I mean, it did, you know... Good things didn't happen after the Foreigner concert that night in Delaware, but it was still a great night. It was a great crab cake. So I just want to tell you that funny story because, like, I am going home and my wife will be getting half of this because, like, one half of the relationship cannot handle asparagus. It is a shared vegetable.
Oh, I love that.
I don't know what the hell we were talking about. We were into something, and then crab cake came. We're talking about crab pricing.
Yeah, well, yeah. So back in January, now we are not Mama's House and featuring Moms on the Half Shell. So a lot of our
Where's about my mother having a crab cake when the crab cake came? That's what it was.
Yeah.
I think it was Easter, but go ahead.
Okay, so...
It was like 10 in the morning. It was like a brunch, and my mom was this big, and we sat right by the front door, and Scunny was there. He was a long time ago.
Okay.
But I had a crab cake there that day.
Okay.
And it looked strange.
Now you're having another one today.
This is Scunny's recipe?
It is. Yep, same recipe we've been rolling with for about 18 years now.
That's my
since
favorite
Mama's
part
of
the show. I would enjoy this crab cake a lot more if you had starved me the last 3 hours instead of bringing me nachos and birria and wings and Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, we like to eat around here.
I had a margarita,
too. We
were
saying, like, Chef's sitting behind me over here, and he's always like, "Hey, Jenny, are you hungry?
I'm hungry at 10 o'clock. All right.
And I'm like,
sure,
I can eat. I never say no.
I'm going after it. All right.
Go for it. This is our crab cake. It is colossal lump mix. We don't use a ton of filler. It is super fresh. Tons and tons of crab meat going on in there. It's a recipe that we're very, very proud of.
I want to hold this up one more time. I hate that the sun's in your eyes.
I know.
I mean, it's terrible what we've done here. You're not even... The picture's not going to look good. You look all washy. Get your head into the shade so we can take a nice picture together. Oh,
there
see?
We go.
And now my head's in the shade. That's all right. It's fine. We're Nacho Mamas. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're in Towson, although you can't go down to Canton now. You go to Mamas. You can go to the Canton location. That's my infamous location. So this is the first crab cake I've had at a Nacho Mamas in this location. Tell me about the rest of the menu and other stuff that you guys have going on here. Because I looked through, my wife said, "Bring your quesadilla home," because she always loved the quesadillas in Canton. So that was her thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Our quesadillas are definitely a huge hit. My favorite's the jambalaya one with all the, you know, shrimp and sausage and beans and rice.
You have a jambalaya quesadilla?
Oh, yeah.
I saw the jambalaya on the bottom of the menu, like dinner thing.
We also stuff it into a quesadilla.
Because I almost ordered the jambalaya.
Oh, it's legit. You got to try it.
I was so in the mood for gumbo. Somebody got me going back in Fat Tuesday. Somebody got me going. I was like, man, I'm in the mood for gumbo. And I went on a gumbo rampage, you know. I went to Mother's. I gave Dave a real hard time about it, too. Because he had the...
I don't even know where serves gumbo.
Mother serves gumbo.
Okay.
There's a great place. I'm going to forget the name of the damn place. It's a woman's name. It's next to Woodrow's. It's right across the street from the Mount Washington Tavern. Don't make me Google it. It's got a Southern name. It's been there forever. It's been there forever.
Jackie and I.
It's been there forever. Hold on. I'm gonna Mount Washington Tavern. Hold on, Mount Washington, Maryland. Hold on.
I'm gonna find it.
I know where it is. I'm gonna come up with it for you. I promise you, I'll get it because I'm good like that. Where's the Mount Washington Tavern? Hold on. In relation to all this, Kelly Avenue. There it is. All right. Hold on. Ethel's Creole Kitchen. They're free shout out. Really good gumbo. I had something else from there. It was really good. Was it the biscuits? Something like it was a bread item. It might have been cornbread. It was cornbread. It was cornbread. It was a cornbread. It was a cornbread. That's what it was. So, and Woodrow's has fantastic brisket. If you've never been there, it's fantastic.
Okay.
So I'm foodie, man. I'm foodie.
Yeah.
So let me get to this crab cake here.
I like to eat.
I have no doubt to the legitimacy of this. Now, this is broiled, correct?
Correct.
I've had this thing the last month, and I really want to give kudos to Jason the Chef for this thing. I've had, I think I'm on 51 crab cakes now since August 1st. I want to say 48 or 49 of them have come with tartar sauce.
Oh, no, we do our Chipotle cocktail.
Okay, tartar sauce to me is for fish sticks. And this goes back to the Eastern Shore, Southern Maryland, Western Maryland. And again, I'm not picking on uncultured or cultured. I'm from Dundalk, Juice, from Pasadena, okay? And we're sitting in Towson with a guy from Canton, okay? So I would just say that I was blown away that anybody would bring me $60 a pound crab meat and bring me tartar sauce next to it. I tried every one of them because I was on a tour. I had one good tartar sauce, maybe two, but one that I could recommend. And it was at a place where the crab cakes were a little cheaper, a little more like my mom did them. Fried, not jumbo lump, old school hockey puck, delicious. I grew up poor,
yeah.
Eating Claude special.
Salty,
you know,
cracker,
period.
Mustard.
Totally. Yeah. Girl, you're from Pedina. Now, that confirms it. That confirms it. So I grew up with that. It's a place called Smith's Pub in Eastport, Annapolis. Smith's,
okay.
Is that right? I think that's right. Davis's Pub,
okay.
Excuse me. Beautiful tartar. It was the only place I liked it. I said, this is the Anthony Bourdain Kitchen Confidential. Everyone throws a tartar sauce at it. No one eats it. It's awful. It's terrible. It's terrible on the Eastern Shore, the Western Shore. And I'm convinced that everyone that serves it, it comes back in the little plastic container, just gets thrown away by the server.
Yeah.
And nobody has the guts to tell the general manager, like, they don't eat this ish. It's awful. And we're serving a legitimate crab cake here. So the fact that you didn't bring me tartar, you already get 2 points for that.
On personal preference, I'm not a big tartar sauce fan ever.
Definitely. I prefer cocktail. But
I don't need it.
I don't need it.
Now, if you want tartar, that's on you. You can
put
eat tartar.
Ketchup on your steak. Fine. Do it. Be a clown. But I'm so this is a Chipotle.
Yeah, so it's a little bit spicier of a cocktail sauce.
Ooh,
it's got a nice little kick to it.
Smells a little bit, and I know you're familiar with this because your old man runs combines. The St. Elmo's.
St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
See, I knew our old man runs football players.
Yeah, they have apparently like a legendary shrimp cocktail and the cocktail sauce. I've never been. I don't tag along to the combine. That's definitely not a work trip I want to go on. But
you don't have the liver for it?
You
need a liver for that one.
I've heard.
Yes.
I've heard.
It's true.
I hear
especially
the stories when he gets back.
Especially if you're with Bobby DePaul. If you're with Bobby DePaul, you really need extra liver. And I'm only cheap shotting him because he's on 105.7. If you see him, let him know. I'm not inviting him to the Hobbit anymore in Ocean City. Fooey on you, DePaul. And I'm not drinking with you anymore in Indianapolis either. Get your own drinks.
Yeah, but apparently ESA Nama is like their
Chad will love that, by the way. So, yeah, tell Chad.
I'll let him know when I get home. So, yeah, apparently ESA Nama is like their cocktail sauces.
See, this is heavy Old Bay.
Yeah.
This is a heavier Old Bay than
a little oomph to it.
I would almost say this is I would say this is the spiciest crab cake I've ever had.
Okay.
This is almost.
Did you try it with the cocktail first bite or no?
No, I haven't touched the cocktail. Well, okay. I touched the cocktail just to. No, I'm talking about the cake itself.
Okay.
The cake itself.
I wasn't seeing it.
Has a heavier volume of Chesapeake Bay seasoning in it. And I don't know if you're J.O. or Old Bay, so I don't want to.
Yeah, we're Old Bay.
Fair enough. Either way, it's all good. J.O.'s local, so that's all good. And so is Old Bay, but in the same way. This is an Old Bay forward crab cake. It's the first really Old Bay forward crab cake I've had.
Okay.
That, I mean, just to be honest with you, it's great. It's East Baltimore. It's exactly what I thought it would be.
Yeah, big old lump.
You know what? This tastes more like eating crabs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is more like I feel like I'm going to have it on my fingers. Like, literally. It's really good. Really, really different. I'm glad I've eaten 50 crab cakes in 30 days. This is a different kind of crab cake.
I like it.
I mean, it's literally very, very unique.
Yeah, and I mean, especially right now with the pricing and everything like that. Like, I mean,
I like the fact that sun went away, too, so I can show you. Yeah. This is like a serious cake here.
Yeah, lumps on lumps right there.
I love that. Well, thank you very, very much for hosting this with us. I'm going to sit here and continue to enjoy my crab cake and my asparagus. I'm not going to stare at it. I'm going to eat it. He'll smell funny later, but I'm not going to talk about that because it's the weekend. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour will be at Coco's next week with another delicious crab cake. The mayor has, well, since he was a city council president, he's been on the show, he comes on the show, whatever. I know you could have odds with the mayor, with all the plastic bags. I'm going to talk to him about all this stuff.
Okay.
He has been chasing me to come on the show.
Okay.
And I'm going to point that out in the beginning when I put the tough questions in front of him. And I'll be candid, I was going to run for mayor. I've told everybody that. And the reason I didn't run is because he ran. And I couldn't beat him. And I believe in him enough to vote for him. I voted for him the second time, not the first time. But I had every candidate on the show. We brought all of them to State Fair, all of them to Faithies. We had every candidate on the show several times in some cases. Mary Miller and T.J. Smith and, like, went through it. That's how Baltimore Positive was born. So when I say I'm having a mayor on, I know people that own city businesses. I own a city home I can't sell right. Like,
so do I.
The reason I'm doing this, and Brandon knows this, and Brandon loves the city, and we disagree in a lot of different things. I'm sure we will. It is about bringing people together, and it is about accountability. So I would say to him, the minute I met him, so I'm in Faithies, you'll appreciate this, and it says a little bit about Brandon and who he is. We're sitting there, you know, Brandon's not rocking his fro yet because he was about to run, and we were one of the first things he did, and we're sitting in Lexington Market at Faithies, and he told me how he had to transfer his bus every single day of his life. But the time as a little boy at Lexington Market to transfer buses to go to school every day.
Wow.
It's a different life, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we try to get into the mind of people where they are and what their experience in life is. But Brandon sits in there and says, I like the Faithies crab cake, but I'm a Coco's man. And I'm like, don't say that in the middle of my spot. You know, and that sort of begat the whole crab cake tour of like, let's
like,
make
this, edit
this out? Magnanimous and have crab cakes everywhere. And, you know, it's a real tribute to my friends at Faithies and Costas, who are my original sponsors in all of this, that we've been going around having crab cakes. And it comes back to, is this like the Faithies crab cake? Is this like the Costas? You know, and I think we all compare and contrast crab cakes. There's no other crab cake I've ever had like this other than at home, if you love Old Bay. You know,
right.
This tastes like eating crabs.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll take that.
No, that's like,
I'm super proud of that crab cake, so.
Yeah, it's a really, it's, I mean, I'm in. I'm in. But you have to love Old Bay.
Yeah.
And that.
And if you're from around here and you don't.
Yeah,
I mean,
this
we're
is.
We're going to kind of run you out of here.
If there is a place that's going to get away with having too much Old Bay in its crab cake, this should be it. This should be the place that you have extra Baltimore love in it. So we'll be at Coco's next week. Brandon Scott's going to be there answering the tough questions. I'll have you submit some questions for me too.
Okay, cool.
Nah, I'm going to open it up for everybody, but Brandon's been chasing me. I saw him at the BMW. He said, when are we doing this crab cake? And I'm like, look, we got to get Coco's open. Coco's was closed.
Oh, wow. I didn't
close,
I had seen online where they, because even in Hashaw for a couple of weeks, we had to take crab cakes off the menu because of the availability and the pricing and all
that.
No,
I'm talking about after curbside, and she closed. She couldn't function as a carryout.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, a lot of, we had to do that. We, you know, the struggle was real.
Yeah.
The struggle was real. It's, I mean, it kind of, we're doing okay now, but it's still, you know, we're living on the edge of our seats waiting for, you know.
Well, I'm here to help, and we'll be spreading the love and tell everybody to come. Tell me the names of the rooms, because I saw the little Elvis cubby over here. And the big room in the back where, if we did it again, we'll do it back there in front of my Brooks Robinson jersey. I think you got that from Robbie's first base, actually.
I'll have to ask Jackie to find out.
I'm pretty sure that. If that's not my jersey, I'll eat my crab cake. Is what I'll do.
I've heard some really funny stories about how we've acquired some of the things around here. So
I'm sure there are pictures of Scunny with a screwdriver and a hammer and a truck for something. So. At Memorial Stadium sign, Upper 31.
I mean, if we have to talk about that, it'll definitely be off the record, off air.
There's a picture somewhere of Scunny in a beater t-shirt and shorts with sandals on, pulling that sign off the wall at 33rd Street with crabgrass growing everywhere.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
So the two private rooms here, we have the Elvis room over here. So it seats about 10. Velvet leopard walls, velvet booth, cute,
as
little,
you expect.
Cute little nook in there, lots of Elvis memorabilia.
Scotty would not want Brussels sprout served in there, but he would like that room.
So then in the back we have like our full.
He would only serve peanut butter and bacon sandwiches in that room.
Oh my god.
There.
So in the back, we have like an actual full private party room, doors closed, all that stuff, private bar, TVs and everything, and that is called the Scunsonian. So this place opened about 5 years ago, so about 4 years after Scunny's passing, and so that was Jackie and the family's nod to everything.
Can I make a contribution to the Scunsonian?
You sure can.
I made it online today. Did you see it?
I did not.
All right. So I had a lot of great days in my life. One of them, obviously, was the day the Ravens won the first year.
Okay.
So,
I remember that day.
Were you there?
I was not there, but okay. I remember that day.
I was in, we had a party that day. It was one of the most legendary. It's called Whiskey Joe's. It's still there on the causeway. It's a different version of the bar. Bar moved a little bit. It was right down by the Hyatt West Shore. It's on the literally on the causeway. And we had 3,000 people there. They ran out of beer. We tried to get a beer truck. They didn't want to get it. We told them, you don't know. You think these Giants fans are coming down. Purple Nation's coming. By the way, it's Purple Friday. Go Ravens.
Purple Friday.
And this party was like a beacon. It was the only party then that Baltimore had. And we had a giant screen TV on outside of Tampa. If you didn't have a ticket, tickets were $3,000 that day. Ask Collins. They'll tell you a lot of people couldn't get in. So they wound up at this party. So Bobby Nick was my DJ that day. The party was such a big deal. Marty Bass will tell you this. Marty and Denise, too, and John Buren. WJZ threw their party at my party because they didn't have a party.
Okay.
So they're like, can we broadcast from your party? And I'm like, sure. So I get to my party. Bobby Nick's on stage, half naked with girls doing stuff. Stacy Keebler's on stage showing her legs, you know.
Oh, she's a lot of her
wearing Get Nasty shirts. This is my girl. Yeah, so Scunny shows up in the Elvis costume, the purple Elvis costume. And
we
lost Bobby Nick during my 30-30 tour in July of 2015. Bobby died. And Bobby went to every road game, was on every plane I was on, usually inebriated. I love Bobby. Bobby sat in Section 513. But Bobby took pictures of everything before we had these things, right?
Okay.
So Bobby gave me his whole reel of Whiskey Joe pictures, which are the best Whiskey Joe pictures I have. I was too busy that day to be taking pictures.
Yeah.
Only pictures I have of that day are pictures other people have given me.
Okay.
Like literally. I wasn't, stop, take a selfie. It wasn't that era.
Right. Exactly.
And I was running a party and we had things happening, right?
Yeah. I mean,
and
that was even before like digital cameras.
It was Super Bowl Sunday, it was January 28, 2001. So I remember this picture, and I've had it forever, and I've never shared it. No one has ever seen it before today, but I shared it. So you are welcome to this. It is a Scunny special.
Oh my goodness.
Bobby Nick took that picture. That is Scunny. and I shared it. Everybody can see it. And that's Scunny posing with kids as Elvis. And so, you guys can blow that up, print that up, and make sure that makes the back wall.
Oh, it's definitely.
Because that should be on the back wall.
Definitely making the back wall. Oh, yeah.
All right, there you go. So you give me a crab cake, I give you a Scunny
picture. Okay, cool.
We even?
We'll take it.
Deal. All right. And we stayed social distance out there, if you're paying attention, Dave Flax. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the Maryland Lottery for sponsoring our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Appreciate Jason, who stayed off camera but was on camera and was wearing a Lamar Jackson jersey, which was good because we're going to need that kind of help this weekend, as we always will. Mashed potatoes, asparagus, crab cake for the road. I had a delicious margarita. Steve Elliott came by from Elliott Chiropractic Life. My friend Nancy Hafford from the Towson. Who's better than Nancy?
I love Nancy.
Nobody. She brought a dog, too. Her dog was a little skeptical with me, but that's okay. The dog took to me after a little while.
Nancy does a great job out here. We're very fortunate to have her in our pocket.
No, Nancy, a long time, man. Yeah. We're a great lady. And like I said, the first time I saw her a year and a half ago, she was so ashen with all the peril that was going on. It was great to see her looking great and feeding on the street, doing all that stuff. Towsontown Festival's happening again next year, too. So get on back to Towson. Get on back to Not Your Mama's Canton. If you missed it when it was closed, your mama's on the half shell, come down and support our friends in the McCusker family, as well as Jen Fidelli, general manager here at the Nacho Mama's Group. I am Nestor. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll get back to football conversation, and more crab cakes ahead. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Wise Mark. It's another Wise Conversation. I am Nestor. We are WNST, broadcasting from the homestead. Handstand, like they say down in Pasadena. If I could Shailen Ekman, you're listening to WNST Towson Ballmer, the station with balls.